Every Sunday, QAM presents The Real Pregame Show. When it comes to sports, we're the authority.
Does Riley have to go out and get another piece to make this team a little bit better? And don't give me Ron Artest, because the Heat doesn't have anything that the Indiana Pacers want once you get past Wade and Shaq. They got nothing else that you have that they want.
We'll trade Michael Doliak and Gerald Fitch.
I'll hang up and listen.
Howard David, F News to the Four, Sports Radio 560
QAS. How'd you like that, huh?
Thanks.
Do you want to hear it again?
No.
Okay. All right, just checking.
I'm still laughing from the first one.
Well, you better watch yourself now. 189 on a scale this morning, baby. I got a whole new leash on life.
Why? What's going on with you?
Well, you didn't know Bob Lasseter.
Oh, you didn't
tell
me the Lasseter story, no.
Well, I don't have
it. But I gathered from listening to you that he's diabetic, and what happened?
He's in bad shape. It's a little bit too late, but I think learning from his example, I think his mentor's life may be saved because, and I got to thank the guy in Lakeland, what's his name again? Daryl. Daryl, who faxed me on Friday. In the last 5 days, I haven't had one drop of sugar, candy, ice cream, crap, nothing. I've lost 4 pounds down to 189, and I don't have any desire for it anymore. I just walk right by it in the supermarket or the convenience store. I don't even look at that crap. Diabetes is no, you'll find out.
Diabetes.
He's already had a foot amputated. He's going blind.
Yep.
He's in bad shape. And I ripped him after reading that on Friday, and I have to apologize for that today because it was not the right thing to do. I mean, see, it's one thing. I remember Mike Disney once said, comparing me and Steve Kane, he says, Neil knows where to draw the line. Steve doesn't have any line. He has no line. And we got somebody like that on this radio station who has no line. I don't want to get into personalities, but nevertheless, I will. Going to rip him an ass.
He has no life?
He has no line.
Oh, no
he doesn't
line.
Know where to draw the line. He's all over the place, and especially behind the off the air, behind the scenes. I want this one fired at it right now, and I'm going to all this other crap. Remember there was a character in Howdy Doody called Mr. Bluster?
Sure. Phineas.
That's him. That's him. Mr. Bluster.
Okay, so today it's Neil and Phineas, and then...
And Howdy Doody.
No more Mad Dog for the rest of the year.
Well, that's right. He's done his last show of the year, and today's only December 15th. Yeah. Boy, what a guy. More power to him, man. I'm all for the talent.
He's my hero.
That's right. Me too. He ain't no Dan LeBastard, but I understand Jason Cole was on this morning for Defoe on the other across the street. Jason Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah. maybe they can put the paper boy on here next if somebody's sick over there. The newspaper boy. Hey, kid, you want to go out and be a radio? Yeah, of course, we got some people too, you know.
Not like that.
So the Beast is pushing for his own show now.
That's okay. I don't mind the ambition.
And I said, you're going to abandon the Humper? And he said, yeah. Nice. Very nice. Beast. Well, these guys, they all have delusions of fantasy, you know?
Let me tell you something. Beast works hard on his show. He does. And, you know, he's always willing to pitch in when he's called on. I have no problem with the Beast.
Well, good.
And you know what? If he has ambitions to move on, good for
him. More power to him.
Yep.
As the Chinese say, gig isn't to hate.
Exactly.
Right.
I can replace him in a flash.
Oh no. That's
thanks,
bad.
Man.
That was really a shot. There was a and the guy's giving up the bread. I'm trying to save his life.
Yeah.
It's just when you talk about it in generic terms like, "Oh, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen." And it doesn't mean anything. But when somebody you know is suffering the ravages of what you could be in, like, 6 months,
well,
6 years.
Well, Vino's lost, I don't know if it's a foot. I know he's lost some toes.
Really?
Yeah.
I told you the story about remember Big Daddy? He had the hot Big Daddy Nap.
Yes, sure.
He had the hot dog place on Lincoln Road Mall.
Yeah, Larry Nap.
And then when I've told this story many times, but it's just shocking to show you how people are just sad. And they tried to reopen the Famous over there in Dania. They had that pink palace there by Dania High Line. They reopened the Famous, and it only lasted for a few months. Remember that?
Yes.
So it was a sponsor of mine. So I went there for lunch one day. I ordered the Kishki, by the way. They didn't have any. Pissed me off. But anyway, so Larry and his wife sit down at my table, and we're talking, and big, fat people. And She's about to go in to have a leg amputated, as I recall, and they're both diabetic. And as we're sitting there talking, the waiter or waitress comes over, and they both order a chocolate egg cream, and they're pouring the chocolate syrup into the... And I sat there, you know, even being the pig that I was at the time, and I'm thinking to myself, you're telling me that you're diabetic and you're getting it amputated and you're sitting here eating chocolate syrup in front of me? I just, it's very sad.
There, some of us have to live with that hanging over us. And
I understand. It's a battle. And, you know, if I were skinny talking about it, I would be a jackass. I mean, you know, pointing the finger. But I've been through it all my life. And you make excuses to yourself. Well, I'm addicted to this. You're not addicted to it. It's just habit. It's just easy to make the excuse. Oh, I'm addicted to this, and I'm addicted to eating whenever the hell I feel like it, whether I'm hungry or not. And you're not. You're not addicted. Because if you were addicted, how could I quit cold turkey Friday afternoon after reading that fax and that blog? How could I just say, okay, I'm no more? I don't even have any desire for it anymore. Well, if you're addicted to something, you can't just do that.
I don't think sugar is addictive, is it?
Well, I think I look at it this way. It's addictive from the standpoint of refined carbohydrates because of the stuff they put in there, the chemicals, that when you start eating, it's like the Pringles spots, you can't eat only one.
Yeah.
And that's because they put chemicals on there that stimulate your taste buds. So when you eat a little bit, you want more. Instead of satisfying your appetite, you want more and you become ravenous. But if you don't eat it at all, you're a lot better off. And that's what I'm doing. I'm not touching it. Oh, the polls are open and erect. There's Christiana Amanpour, another network shill, man. I'm going to tell you, they need to take out the CNN and MSNBC. And, of course, Fox goes without saying. Just when in doubt, take them out. Let's get Pat Robertson on the case.
God.
Well, you remember what he said about Hugo Chavez?
Yep.
When in doubt, let's take him out for lunch. Maybe you ought to take Mo out for lunch. Maybe you two could bond a little bit. Maybe you could try to humanize him a little bit.
Yeah, I got some lunch for you.
Oh, for me.
How about some pizza, huh? I've been a big pizza fan.
Yeah. I'll send him one.
Yeah. So the number of people that I have a death wish for has been reduced now. It's down to two. One is the unmentionable one, whom we all know. And the other one we also all know. That's beside the point. We have a serious death wish, and I'm not joking about that. I have never seen such a Schmidt disturber, evil person, a thing. I wouldn't even say person would be getting carried away as that. Nice going, Greg, man. You know how to pick him. Let's send Greg down to those, what do they call them, the you-pick-em fields down there where they pick the strawberries and the tomatoes down there in the ranch or wherever it is?
You know, you should come back for next week.
No. No, thanks. For what? I won't even be there next week. I'm going to be on vacation next week. Tomorrow's our last get-together for a while.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
How long are you gone for this time? A week?
Just a week.
Okay.
What do you mean this time?
Well, I had one in October.
And of course, there's 80,000 days in the summertime.
Yeah.
Throwing not like Mad Dog, though. No. Boy, that's...
I got a deal of deals.
I got to tip my cap to him, man. That is really beautiful.
You got
that's
the
a
deal
case of the
deals.
Student passing the teacher like I was standing still, like I was laying out prone.
Yep.
And he owes a vote of thanks. He ought to call up. Hey, by the way, thank you, Joel Feinberg, for getting Hank and Mad Dog such good deals. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we like him.
How do you like that deal? Remember that voicemail he left for Greg that we played on the air about
the Bo Camper one?
Yeah. Don't overpay the same mistake.
Don't make the same mistake, right?
Yeah. Because we don't really want him in.
Hey, listen, you know, you don't have us. It opens it up for Jason Cole.
I'd like to see Bo Camper go in there and just step on him and just sit on him. You know, I've never seen Joel Feinberg. I don't know whether he's like 2 feet tall or 10 feet tall, but Bo Camper could squash him like a gnat, you know? I'd like to see him just go in there just for old time's sake and just squash him. Just sit right on his, well, ass. I was going to say sit on his face. That's bad. Sorry, Joyce.
Ooh.
Joel might enjoy it.
It's 10:06, folks.
It's on my time. Oh, God. That is a panic. Well, on that note, and I did, you'll be pleased to know, I had a nice comeback at Woodbine. I started out pretty good, then I started doing real bad, and I left my machine, and this couple came along and got $1,000 on the line. I was really PO'd, and then I went back to it, and I made most of my money back. Lost only $500, which, considering I was losing my ass, was pretty good.
Saturday they have 4 stakes races at Calder. Good ones.
Well, I won't be, I'll be abroad.
You can watch. Oh, yeah. Saturday, where are you going? Where are you going on your trip?
To Amsterdam.
Oh. You haven't been there for a while, have you?
A few months.
Yeah.
I go there maybe once a year now. I get around. Berlin, Cologne, Rome, Barcelona.
You like Prague, Berlin, didn't you? We talked about Berlin.
Oh, Berlin is
love Berlin.
I'll tell you, anybody that wants to go the first place that you want to go in Europe.
It's one of the great cities in the world.
I would say Rome number one and Berlin number two. Yeah. It really is.
I enjoyed Berlin a lot.
And if people got some time, like maybe a couple of weeks, they really ought to make it over to Cologne. Have you ever been in Cologne?
No.
Oh, man. Now, if you go to Amsterdam, you get on the train, and it's only about a two-hour train trip from Amsterdam. And on that high-speed, that ice train,
yeah.
There, piece of cake. And you know, take maybe a little couple of magazines or a newspaper, and by the time you're finished reading it, you're already there. And Cologne is just sensational, beautiful, very modern. They got that big, the Dom, you know, every city in Europe's got that big church, you know, the huge, right by Central Station, by the train station. In fact, the train station is beautiful itself. They got all these shops and restaurants. It's fabuloso, man. Cologne's great.
Sounds like a plan for me.
And unlike South Florida, all these young, living and breathing, beautiful people. I'll tell you one thing, man. I don't care what anybody says. Let me say it again for the umpteenth time. Although I've never been in Asia, but of the places I've been in Sweden, I've been in Finland, I've been in a lot of places. The people in Germany, man, not in southern Germany, not in Frankfurt. Those people are like mostly mugwumps. But in Cologne and Berlin, those are the most beautiful people in the world there. It's scary.
I love
really
Berlin.
Scary.
You haven't been to Australia?
No. Well, they're too busy beating up Lebanese now, so I don't want to go there. Now, what have you been to Australia?
A few years ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long trip, boy.
Yeah, it's a schlep.
Yeah, 24 hours, I think.
Yeah, but I liked it.
We're getting a foot of snow here today, by the way. There's almost no snow on the ground right now, but this afternoon it's going to start. We're getting 30 centimeters, which I looked that up. That's a foot of snow just before I leave, so I hope the hell I get out of here tomorrow.
Well, I hope so for you, and I hope you have a wonderful trip. Well, you're gone tomorrow.
Well, I'll be here tomorrow.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Where are you going to be?
Going to
call in sick tomorrow?
No, I'll be here.
Good.
So
always a good idea to show up.
Be able to send you off.
I'm sure there's somebody that would love to send me off.
Yeah,
off the planet. Yeah, I got plenty to say about that child today, too. Believe me, I'm late.
Let me ask you, why would you suggest a lunch with us?
I'm just joking. You think I'm serious?
Yeah.
You really think I'm serious?
No.
I can't even envision that. I can't even imagine that.
I mean, where would we go, you know, where they allow food fights?
Well, you missed Wolfie's in Boca. That's out of business now. It's closed down, so it's too late for that.
All those good old places.
Yeah.
I drove past the Rascal House last night.
Well, that would be a good place. You can go in there, a couple of old Jews. You can go in
there. Exactly.
House,
and they have a big sign up.
Try to attack each other with those knives they got in there, with the plastic knives.
Yeah, they have a big sign up now. It says open 24 hours.
Oi!
Waiter wanted. So, you know, if things don't work out over the sushi lunch, never mind.
I can't imagine waiter wanted in that place.
Oh, could you imagine being a waiter there?
Well, that's what used to happen at the Wolfies on 21st there on the beach. I told you, three different times I was in there and waitresses ripped off their aprons and ran out. This is a crazy house. Because the clientele were just impossible. I used to think it was the people they hired. It was a chicken and the egg thing, which came first, but it was definitely the clientele. That's when South Beach was a lot different than it is now. Nasty old Jews. Man, that was...
Oh, yeah. Brother. They used to sit outside in front of those old hotels where now they're all very chic.
Remember they had all those pictures in Wolfie's in the celebrity room, the pictures of Jackie Gleason and all the other people that had eaten there, all the big celebrities?
Yep.
Well, that was celebrities 50 years ago.
Yes.
It was quite a place.
Milton Berle.
Right.
Yes. Arthur Godfrey.
Right. The biggest anti-Semite that ever...
Yeah.
Have you ever figured that out?
No.
Why they named a street on Miami Beach, which used to be like a 90% Jewish, after one of the... How about Adolf Hitler Way? Is that coming next?
Yeah. Hank Meyer got that done.
He got Arthur Godfrey Road?
Yeah.
Well, you used to work for him, didn't you?
No.
I thought you worked
for him. No, I worked for an ad agency. He had a PR firm.
I see.
I knew Hank.
But you knew him?
Yes.
Well, why did he do a thing like that? Was he anti-Semitic?
He was the guy who promoted Arthur Godfrey, you know, had arranged for the television show here.
He never hired one Jew to work on his. Did you know that? And that wasn't by accident either, although Holly Loki may get a bit Jewish. I don't think so. I don't think so. Remember Holly Loki?
Yeah.
And Tony Marvin?
Yep.
And who was it that he fired on the air? It was Julius LaRosa. He fired him on the air.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
That's pathetic. So, by the way, Beast, it's been nice knowing you, but you're fired. He's about the only other guy that I could imagine firing somebody on the air in the middle of a show. You're fired. Get out of my way. And don't be stealing my pizza. Well, listen, have a great day. It's
and
already
you.
In this first break. It's nice to kill in some good time. No, really, it helps a lot when you get to be this advanced age like we are. It helps tremendously.
Yeah.
It's almost like having Ira on to kill her.
You know what? We're getting to be like a couple of Yentas, you know?
Yeah, it's like that. Well, it's like Ginger and what does he call
it's
you?
Like,
Henrietta
you know,
and Ginger over the backyard fence. I got news for you, mole man. It's a more entertaining in these 10 minutes every day than you ever do in 50 hours.
I'm standing at the concierge desk where I live. And these, they have a, you know, a banquet room, not a banquet room, but a meeting room downstairs. And these three women come in, asked where the Hadassah meeting was. And as they walked away, I said, I'd have never guessed. You should have seen that crowd.
Oi!
Yes. I can only imagine.
Au revoir.
It reminds me of my show at the Hallmark. Maybe I'll have to tell that story again. My remote at the Hallmark when I was on WS News.
That's
all
like
eating. They're all schlepping in the back to eat the food, making noise in the middle of the show. And then during a break, the salesperson comes up to me and says, they don't like the topic. Change the topic. They don't like it.
That's like Shecky Green appeared at Century Village. And he told me when he got up there, he looked at the audience and he said, you know, you people didn't need a comedian. You should have hired a doctor.
Yeah, should have hired a mortician. Have a great day.
Hey, you too.
And keep that money in your pocket.
Yeah, I will today.
See ya.
Hi, this is Reggie Randy Moeller. Atlantic Coast Mortgage is the only mortgage company in South Florida at the same location since 1982. Why would you deal with someone else? One branch and ready to help serve you. If you want a free cruise, don't call them. If you want it to rain on a sunny day, don't call them. If you don't want to pay closing costs, don't call them. If you want great... I call them at Atlantic Coast Mortgage in Dade. Call 305-944-0733 or in Broward or Palm Beach at 954-987-8077 for Atlantic Coast Mortgage.
ORBB, that's Orange Bowl Basketball. ORB is a doubleheader basketball brawl featuring Coach Leonard Hamilton's Florida State Seminoles calling to the court the Nebraska Cornhuskers, followed by your hometown Hurricanes challenging NCAA Final Four powerhouse Louisville.
Rogers God.
All right. Let's abuse some more prisoners. Make them scream nice and loud.
Absolutely.
Get me some wires and a battery pack. I don't care if they ain't from Iraq. Should be used to the torture. 'Cause we're just playing their game. In the past, it had to be worse with Saddam Hussein.
Oh, okay, 10:14. I had to play a short bit there because the Humper and I, Henrietta and Fagadorn and Ginger,
right.
Or he didn't say anything, which is probably just as well. What?
Well, I don't want to get in the middle of that.
Why not? You could have jumped right in. And of course,
Surly
the Beast.
Fest.
The Beast, by the way, is off the bread, trying to save his life, too. Anyway, we better do the break. It's 10:15 already. We might have to do, like, side by each break.
This is
Sorry about that.
This is 560 QAM.
Rock solid.
17th and Sunday, December the 18th at the historic Orange Bowl in Miami. See the top teams from across six South Florida counties fighting it out on the gridiron to see who is the best Orange Bowl youth football team. For more information, log on to orangebowl.org or call the Orange Bowl at 305-341-4702. And remember, champions think orange and get the patch.
Hank Goldberg. Weekday morning, 7 to 10.
Stan Van Gundy joins us on Sports Radio 560 QAM.
A lot's been said about Pat looming over me and all of that. And, you know, just to make it very simple, Pat brought me into the NBA. I was unemployed at the time. Then Pat gave me a chance to be a head coach in the NBA. And then he allowed me to do what I wanted to do in this situation. And my family is set up that we can do this. I owe everything to the guy. And this is characterization that he was stabbing me in the back and things like that. It is just ridiculous and does not reflect the appreciation that I have for him and that my family has for him.
The Hammer, Hank Goldberg, 7 to 10, Sports Radio 560 QAM. Take a break and laugh out loud with Neil Rogers.
Hello, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you have a bit that goes, hey, I'm like, hey, man, I just like this show, man. I'm like, hey. You have one that goes, gay.
Gay.
Yay.
That was good.
Oh, man.
Neil Rogers, weekdays from 10 to 2 on 560 QAM. Here's what's happening online at WQAM.com.
Register to win Miami Dolphins tickets courtesy of Presidente Imported Beer, the true taste of real beer. And that's what's happening online. A service of Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Enough with the puking!
Dingleberry, joy! I'm very upset and I'm very annoyed. I give it a dig and I give it a tug and drag my bony ass across the rug. Dingleberry, joy! They got me shaking and doing like a dance. I'm using my hand with a kung fu grab. Like I got ants in my pants. When they multiply, makes a sound like a crunch when I walk this way. Spend my spare time in my behind. Pit the dingleberries away. Making a trail right down to my knee. In that dark, I'm in a tad. Dingleberry motions are tickling me. I got the dingleberry. I got the dingleberry. I got the dingleberry toy.
Can you tell me what this HUSNAD, my husnad?
I beg your pardon?
The thing you just faxed me here.
I think it meant to say husband.
What? On today's poll?
The one that's on there right
the
now.
The last thing most guys want to be called is my husband?
Right.
Okay, whatever you say, Jim. Jim is my husband, by the way. I have no idea what that's all about. Maybe that's Jim who's used to be married to that. I don't
Maybe.
Know. Anyway, here's the poll result from yesterday. Then there's only one story that I want to do first. I got a few later on, but I got to go into this whole emotional thing. It is emotional. I don't think anything on this show ever has affected me the way that that fax, and of course that started like a chain of events, the fax
right.
I got last Friday.
The domino effect.
The fats domino effect from, what's his name again? Daryl. Daryl in Lakeland. Thanks, Daryl. Because it looks like it'll have a positive end.
Good.
Or at least, you know, in some respects, something good will come from it. The last thing most guys want to be called is, let's see, how many votes we got on there? 1,447. Wait till you see tomorrow's poll. I like it a lot. Eric's already got it, or he should have. The last thing most guys want to be called is fag, 361. You faggot. Ah, blah, blah, blah. My bitch, 213. The P word, 174. That's P-U. Oh, I'm sorry. P-U. Coward, 124. A loser, 117. Effeminate, 88. I wonder if David Sampson's ever been called that.
Really?
Whip, 49. David Sampson and Delilah. Fat, 47. Wimp, 44. Liar, 40. Dumb, 33. Like your president. Dumb, dangerous, though. A phony, 29. An a-hole, 28. Ugly, 24. Now, it's interesting because, let's see, the top four or five there have, like, a ton of votes.
Okay.
Top five or six. And then after that, it's not really all that much. A phony, 29. A-hole, 28. Ugly, 24. Pretty, 18. A wannabe, 14. Fruitcake, 13. Crook, 13. Cheap, 11. Scrawny, 7. And beautiful, only 6. I thought that most macho guys didn't want to be called beautiful. That it kind of like, out of 14 out of 56 votes, by the way, it kind of like, you know.
It ain't good, but there's so many other worse choices on there.
It ain't good?
No.
So, in other words, if somebody said you were beautiful, which, of course, you're not, but, I mean, if you were and they said that, that would be disturbing.
If who said it?
Anybody. Oh, I see. So, in other words, if a guy said it.
Yeah, run like
then
a son
of
a bitch. Right.
George, you're beautiful.
Ha. Come give me a kiss.
I got news for you. That studio right now is not going to be overblown by beauty at any point. And we got too many liars here. You know, this is I realize it's the holiday season, but Clarence, this is getting way out of control. I mean, you know, we got a show to do here. We got plenty of spots to put on the air, and I'd like to have a little bit of show in between. The Big O's Holiday Toy Drive is underway to benefit Miami Children's Hospital. Dropbox is located at the Doral Kendall North Miami Ale House, as well as the Carolina Ale House. Unwrapped toys can be donated at these locations during normal business hours. And look for the QAM van right now as I speak at the Hess Station. 107th Avenue, 41st Street in Doral. Stop by to drop off a new unwrapped toy for the Big O's. Oh, now see, this is, it's the same old stuff. Gosh dang, man. Stop by to drop off a new unwrapped toy for the Big O's Holiday Toy Drive to benefit Miami Children's Hospital. That's 107th and 41st Street in Doral. Van will be there, too. So I guess I'll replace the other one because this is like a slop over. It's pretty much the same thing, which would have been nice if somebody would have pointed that out. Clarence, you are still in that booth talking up your ass, man. You're just pathetic. Oh, it was sure very illuminating and elucidating for him coming in there this morning. Not. Sure gave us some really interesting information. Not. Okay, here's one piece of interesting information before I go into my rant, which I will. I might spend like 2-3 hours on it. Just pouring my guts.
All right.
I made it, and you participated, but then again, you know, it's just one of those things. You're such a hard-ass spick that you just, it's easy for you to rag on people that you don't even really know all that well.
Like who?
Like Blabo.
I was ragging on him.
You chimed right in there.
I was ragging on him.
Yes. Well, I was, and you chimed right in.
Saying what?
About, I don't want to, can we save it till we go into the chronological order of the whole thing?
Okay.
Now, are you denying it?
That I ragged on him?
Just like you deny that you hate Rick Riley. I don't know why.
I'm denying all of it.
There are a lot of people that hate Rick Riley from the Suds and Rick program.
I didn't rag on Blabo. I'll be happy to repeat anything that I did say. And I don't hate Rick Riley. All right.
Let's save it. I beg your pardon?
And I don't hate Rick Riley.
You dislike him intensely.
No, not even.
You're not fond of him.
I'm okay with
you him. You don't want to go to lunch with him unless
I'm
he
lukewarm on him. How's that?
That's pretty good.
Hey, just like you know, you only have two people that you reserve the hatred and all that stuff.
That is right.
I also have a very short list.
I said three last week, and I apologize right now for that. I had no reason to. I don't know what you know. Like I told you before the show, when you're away from a person for a long time, they become like almost like a cartoon character, like they're not for real. You know what I mean? And out of sight, out of mind, and then you start like you know. It gets into a whole shtick thing, but there's a big difference between shtick and for real. Although there are some people in this business who don't know where that line is. They haven't got a clue where it
what
is.
Do you mean?
And they also have no sense of humor. But we'll also get to that, believe me. Okay, here's the one thing I want to do before we do the next break. Oh, God. Can you believe it? Well, that's what happens.
Another break already?
Well, it's coming. Bear with us. Columnist Bob Novak, who first published the identity of covert CIA officer Valerie Plame, says he's confident that President Bush knows who leaked Plame's name.
Oh, my God.
Novak said, I'd be amazed if the president didn't know the source's identity and that the public should bug the president as to whether he should reveal who the source is. Novak's remarks reported in the Raleigh, North Carolina News and Observer came during a question and answer session Tuesday after a speech sponsored by the John Locke Foundation, a conservative think tank. Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer urged Bush to identify Novak's source or to say he doesn't know who it is. Right. Or maybe he just got bad memory.
This is Neil Rogers.
He just forgot.
This is 560 QAM.
Delicious, honey.
I know, but where's Garrett? Honey, ready for dinner?
No way, Mom. That smells heinous. I can't eat that crap.
Is the junkie in your family overly critical of your cooking? Are you in need of something to bring back his strung-out appetite? Hi, my name's Barb Bituant, and I'm here to announce a breakthrough in kitchen appliances that'll restore your drug-addicted child's appetite just in time for Christmas. Introducing the Crack Pot. Now, you can cook up those shrooms, microdots, yellow bees, ganja, smack, and angel dust with the Crack Pot.
Honey, ready for dinner?
No way, Mom. That smells... Hey, dude! Mom! That smells righteous!
Thanks, Crackpot!
The Crackpot! The perfect Christmas gift for the strung-out junkie in your family. Available now at the Bob Marley Paraphernalia Store.
10:32 at QAM. Here's our award-winning schedule. Mulhauer David did such as he is, 2 to 4 this afternoon with his bombastic approach to life. Joe Zagacki for the Mad Dog at Smoky Bones, 4 to 7.
Joe Zagacki sucks, okay?
Jesse Agler, very briefly now, don't get panicky, 7 to 7:30 because we got another Panther game tonight. Panthers preview 7:30. It's an 8 o'clock start, I guess, for ESPN or ESPN2 or the Deuce, the Trace, whatever. Red Wings in town to play the Panthers, looking for 2 in a row now after a big win the other night. And then Eddie Kay at Seminole Hard Rock after the hockey game. Maybe we should also put on a poll, but I doubt it.
Hey, that's a good-looking guy.
Like that. But I guess not.
No.
I just play that. Just an excuse to play it. So anyway, the for people that might have been like busy over the holiday, all the stuff going on. Friday. At what time did that come in? Was that like late in the show on Friday?
What?
The fax from the first fax from Daryl in Lakeland.
I don't remember.
Was about Brian Lasseter in his blog. Well, whenever it came in, I think it was later on in the show. And for those who don't know, Bob Lasseter was a guy who was a. In fact, I'll read this thing again because I read it really hastily toward the end of the show yesterday, and probably most people missed it from his blog that Daryl right. faxed to me yesterday. But he was a guy who was a talk show host in the market years ago, and then he went over to Tampa and he became like the big cheese there, big literally and figuratively, a big heavy guy. And then went to WLS in Chicago for a couple of years and then back into Tampa and then was out of the business. He had a big contract dispute at WFLA about 6 years ago and then was off the air. And that was it. It's the last we heard about him. So we get a fax from Daryl in Lakeland on Friday that says Bob Lasseter is in bad shape. He's diabetic, as you know, and he's had a foot amputated and he's losing his eyesight and he's got a blog. And my reaction to that was just totally unacceptable. I have no idea why the hell I did that, and I really feel bad about it. I try to think of anything else I've ever said on the air in 30 years that I felt bad about.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of too much. Can you?
That you feel bad about?
Yeah.
No.
That I said, gee, I wish I wouldn't have said that, and I really don't know why I said it. But like I said before, it's like out of sight, out of mind. And then people become, on these shows, they become like, characters in some kind of an unfolding soap opera, and they're like not even for real anymore, especially when you haven't seen them in years and years, and you haven't known about them in many years. So my reaction to that was totally unacceptable, and I do apologize for that and also want to retract it. The only thing I ever apologized for before was, and this is on my own, nobody has, believe me, the management of this station wouldn't know Bob Lasseter if he sat on their head. And believe me, he wouldn't want to. But once before, I was thinking about this morning, Rick Shaw, of all people, I was at INZ, and it had to do with Rick and Suds, as I recall, and the fact that they hated him like poison because they said he was impossible to work for and stuff like that. Remember that?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, this is, no, but at any rate, it's...
It's a lie. I am not a Nazi.
See, that was Rick, who now, of course, is a big friend of ours and listens mm-hmm. to probably... Hey, Rick, how's it going? Happy generic holidays, Ricky Tiki, and wash that cap for the new year. But anyway, so he was like threatening to sue because I went on the air and I said he was a Nazi, and right away the station required me to read an apology on air. Not read one, but make one up. So I made an apology, but of course I made sure that I made it worse than the original one. And I said, I had said the other day that Rick Shaw was a Nazi, and it's not with a capital N, it's with a small N. And I explained the difference, et cetera. So I actually made it a lot worse.
You bastard.
Yeah. And then turned out that Rick Shaw happens to be, at least in my book, he's a pretty good guy. Over 40 years on the air in this godforsaken market, baby. He's okay in our book. A little on the right wing, but nevertheless. But in this particular case, though, and I said some evil, awful things about, and here's a guy that's in bad shape. And, of course, being a fat slob myself and being diabetic and fooling myself and eating these voluminous amounts of ice cream and, working with some other very, very fat, I don't want to mention any names, like the one that's sitting in the other room now, although nice job on the bread now.
Got to keep it up.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying. As long as you're still alive, there's a chance.
Of not dying.
But the thing about my reaction to that is that, so I went online, I read the blog, Bob Lasseter's blog, and it's so depressing because here's a guy that realizes now, too late, that he's abused his body with fat for so many years, and now he's suffering the consequences of it. And that's why I keep warning people, like Hank, and like some certain, with his good genes, that diabetes is not, everything you have heard about it and read about it, it's true. It's one of the worst things you can possibly have. Not just in terms of the foods you can't eat anymore. And with all the fat people in America now, believe you me, and they already said, I only have diabetes among kids now, teenagers.
Right, the type 2.
Type 2 diabetes among teenagers, which mm-hmm. ordinarily type 2 diabetes used to start like at 40.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it, when you get fat and sedentary and stuff like that. Now teenagers are getting, because everybody in America is fat. Because the doctors don't want to get you healthy, because then they're not going to get your money. And the food manufacturers sure as hell don't want to get you slim, because they want to keep peddling you more crap. So it's all a big scam. And then, of course, that's why we got all these prescription drugs being advertised on the nightly news every night. Almost every ad now is for either a prescription or over-the-counter drug. Yeah, but we got to get those druggies. That's right. That's what Bill Bennett and Rush Limbaugh said. Anyway, so... Having read Bob's blog and realizing that even though when you know certain things in a generic way, and you've read about, it can cause this and cause blindness and all these horrible things, and you think you can keep fooling yourself, and it doesn't really mean that. It doesn't strike home. It requires something, a wake-up call, a real wake-up call. And two or three different times in my life I had a wake-up call. The first time I was working in Sarasota in 73. I weighed 266 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Not quite in the beast category, although I am 5'9", he's 5'4". But I was a huge, fat slob. I told you, I used to take like a box of Hamburger Helper on a weekend. Watching a ball game, a football game on a weekend, I'd get a box of Hamburger Helper, cook up a pound of hamburger, make the Hamburger Helper, and then take, you know, the big cans of Hawaiian Punch. Eat the whole box of Hamburger Helper and the pound of you know, the beef that you're cooking in, and the whole can of Hawaiian Punch with all that sugar. I mean, I was just a slob pig beast.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I started waking up in the morning with these headaches, man, sweats and bad headaches. I went to the doctor and he said, "Oh man, if you don't lose some weight and get that blood pressure down, you're gonna." That was the first time he put me on blood pressure pills.
How old were you?
Well, I was 73, so I would have been like 31.
Okay.
Now, what does this mean? Daryl in Sarasota faxed.
Well, that's from Daryl, so I assume that he's talking about himself.
Yeah.
But faxed.
Well, I don't understand.
I don't understand.
In other words, he faxed, sent a fax to a blog?
I guess that's what that means.
Oh, in Sarasota. I'm saying Lakeland. Sorry, Daryl. I said Lakeland. Oh, Daryl in Sarasota. Because it was David Lakeland that sent us the first one on Friday?
No, it's Daryl. Or I don't know.
Well, what difference does it make, okay? Sorry, Daryl. Maybe he knows David. He doesn't like him. Whatever the deal is. Now, what was I just talking about?
You were taking sweating with headaches and blood pressure.
Right, and the doctor said you're going to die.
So I weighed 266. So that wake-up call, in a year and a half, I lost 96 pounds. How do you like that? That was back when the protein-sparing fast was really big.
Mm-hmm.
And I got down to 170. I was beautiful. Well, I mean, as beautiful as I'm ever going to get. I was okay. In fact, that was right about the time I came flying out of the closet about a year or two afterward, and I was just having a wild
gay
time. And then, of course, you know, then you get careless and sloppy, and you start going out to all of these meals because you think, hey, now I'm slim and trim, and all of a sudden the weight starts coming back. Let's do the break, though. This is kind of like, see, with that 30th anniversary show coming up on March 1st, this is kind of like a prelude to it right before my vacation.
All right.
Like a mini-series history of the Neil Rogers Show, etc.
This is Neil Rogers.
Put the bread down,
this
beast.
This is 560 QAM.
The John Lennon Files. To this day, the government refuses to release them. Tonight on the History Channel, you'll find out why. Only the History Channel has uncovered never-heard-before tapes of Lennon's rehearsal sessions, recorded under the constant surveillance of the FBI.
All right, now, not quite sure. See that that's more warming up. You don't mind?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. There's a little ditty for the FBI.
Don't leave me bloody alone.
Imagine there's no Nixon, no Spiro Agnew, too. Imagine there's no quasars or full-length films of Scooby-Doo. Imagine there's no Hoover. How much would that smoke? What? Yes.
Aren't you in enough trouble?
Didn't like that, eh?
This place should be bugged right now.
Don't worry about it.
Good idea.
Here's one for the little buggers.
Around the turn of the century, Republicans will get you all to agree. When the sword is, launch an attack. You'll get them back by invading Iraq. And like a pack of gullible fools, believe all the news you hear. Sergeant Shelton's country of the damned.
Oh, we're in trouble.
Oh, no.
You want to go to jail?
Right. I need that like a bloody hole in the head.
Get on with it.
I'm on the roll, boys. Let's call the little FBI brothers. Get this out then. J. Edgar Hoover. She's about to move over in his pretty dress. Yes, sweet gal he likes best for a date like told a poser. Puts a wig and nylons on, paints his lips with Revlon, fighting crime and drag. Busting all the bags, not his type of hoe.
Hey, what?
Oh, man, we're all going to get busted now.
Just happen to be the fun.
HR Alderman, here's your power when things get rough. HR Alderman wants to see John Dean's wife in the bar.
It's 10:48, so where did I leave off? Somewhere between Friday and today.
You were went to the doctor. You were diabetic.
High blood pressure.
You,
70, so when I lost
got down to 170 pounds, and you were beautiful.
When I got to IOD, by that time I was back up to 240. And then what did I do? How did I lose that? Then I had the first stroke. I had many strokes, but that was the first one, which was more serious. And I was very lucky that I could still speak after that. And that kind of like, that was a wake-up call. That's what I'm trying to talk about, wake-up calls. And so following that, I got down to about 195, thereabouts.
Okay.
I think once upon a time, about 185 was about the lowest I got. I think I was doing Atkins at that point. Wasn't that, was about the time when Atkins I made it popular in town.
Okay.
And Dr. Bob and I did that appearance at the Sawgrass.
That's right.
Remember that? We had 1,000
sure.
people there, sold 700 books that day. Hey, Dr. Bob. Oh, that's right. He's not with us. Don't fall down, Dr. Bob, now.
Too late.
See, the one thing is, when somebody's already dead, at that point, I hold nothing back. Because you can't offend somebody when they're dead, whether it's my mother or Fat Rich or Bob Atkins. Who cares?
Right.
They're not hearing it. It's when somebody's alive, that's when you don't do it. Unless, of course, they deserve it. You know what I'm saying?
Don't.
We'll get to that. Believe me, I got plenty to say in that category.
Yay.
Yeah, that show is 380 pounds now this week. Do you know that? That Stale Rogers show is 380 pounds this week because that tub of crap is, if I were in that category where everybody, if I worked in a building with 100 people and just about every one of them hated me like poison, despised me, and no matter how much of a hard ass I was, something, the spirit of something would compel me to look in the mirror if I could handle it and say, What is wrong with me? Why is it that everybody hates me? Am I out of step with like the human race? Which in this case, there's no question. But
see,
I mean,
one begets the other.
What do you mean by that?
If you had the ability to do that, you wouldn't be the kind of bastard that you are.
Oh, I see. Well, anyway, so this was a wake up call to me on Friday, seeing about poor Bob with his diabetic situation and complications. And this is what happens. You know, blindness and getting your legs amputated and all these other things, and then early horrible death. Not good. So maybe Bob is listening this morning. It's possible online or not, whatever. But the fact is that maybe vicariously through his rough time, he'll save my life, which I thank him for in advance. And I thank the Daryl and who's the other one? And Dave, whoever the people were who are faxing from over there on the West Coast. Because otherwise we wouldn't even know about any of this. And I wouldn't have known about the blog, and I wouldn't have heard about that experience. The blob and the blog. So let's see, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8, is that right? No, that's not right. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 6 days.
Okay.
Now, I realize that's not like a lifetime, it's not like a major accomplishment, we're not going to write a bulletin on the front page of the New York Times on it. 6 days with no crap. And this is like right on the heels, maybe that half a gallon of ice cream and the little pint of dulce de leche, that was it. You know what I'm saying? That was like
right.
my getting it out of my system or getting it into my system. Oh, I got it out all right. Believe me. Wow.
Drought.
But that was the end. Remember
Very
that
good.
Song, This is the End, my uh-huh. friend? That was the end of that. Because you can only fool Mother Nature so long. And for it to be going on the air. And like the guy that called the other day. Remember the guy that was talking about how much he loves his ice cream? And he,
mm-hmm.
Well, good luck to you, Pally. I love it, too. But the fact of the matter is I'd rather be alive. If you have a death
right.
wish, if you're anxious to exit, well, hey, fine. You know, die with a big smile on your face, you think, but you won't. It'll be agony, and you'll go out in a miserable, horrible way. Just keep picking out. When in doubt, just keep picking. Keep reaching for that pizza, whether it's yours or somebody else's.
All for me!
Yeah, that's it. So yesterday, right toward the ass end of the show, I get this fax from Daryl. Now, this is Daryl in Sarasota, right? Because I don't want to get Daryl upset because we keep saying Dave in Lakeland.
Right.
Whoever these people are.
Let's just say Daryl in Sarasota.
The big D. The big D. Now, do I want to read this now? Do I have time? I guess I got time
yes,
to read it.
Sure.
Lasseter posted this on his blog December 14th, which is yesterday. And this was like a day after he initially got very angry. Remember he had that the shouting message he put on his blog in big black ink?
Right.
Well, Nelson, how come you're listening and don't you have a life? It's reading my blog. Well, the reason I'm reading it is because I take an interest in it, because this is somebody I used to work with and somebody I know, and it's tragic.
And reacting incorrectly, because you never said anything about it, like that you were unhappy with it, and that's what he said in that screaming message thing.
That I was unhappy with what? Oh, with his blog?
I just said
it was very depressing, which is...
Right.
Look, let me just say this. I don't retract anything I said about his on-air show. A couple of times I was in Tampa when he was on FLA. His show is, to me, and this is only my opinion, was so depressing. It was like suicide-inducing. It's just the combination of his great voice with very... But it's just the whole approach, which I guess if I had to work with those mugwumps in Tampa that long, maybe I would have done the same thing, too. I don't know. But it was just very, very morbid and depressing, I thought. But that's a business thing. It's got nothing to do with personal. And the fact of the matter is that even though we did have the SUN falling out, and you see, in life, we all remember things very selectively according to our own perspective. In other words, whatever suits us, whatever's convenient for us, we remember it through our own eyes and mind, okay, how we viewed it at the time.
Right.
So my perspective on the SUN falling out was that, he kind of like sandbagging all of us, South Florida Jew fag or whatever, plus Suds and Rick, who were like either category, but nevertheless, they were along for the ride. That was just my perception. But I don't remember that much about it, and I certainly don't remember this thing he refers to later on about some thing he blurted out, some shot he took. I don't remember any of that because it wasn't that big of a deal. And like I said, this is not somebody that I really hated or even talked about that much. You know, every now and then we'd have one of the talk show groupies from the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Where's Bob Lashley? And who knows? You know, I'd play one of the drop-ins, some of the stuff like that. But it's certainly not somebody that I have any reason to hate or anything like that. See, there he is. Great voice, but a little depressing. And then the blog, like I said, is very depressing. And why not? You know, if anybody's going through that experience, it's just... But it really opened up my eyes and my ears and my everything. So I'm going to do the break, and then I'll read this, because I don't want to, like, fly through it. And people, and a lot of people out there don't even know what I'm talking about, but that's not what's important. What's important and what I want to talk about today is this is a radio show. It's a radio show, that's all. I'm here to entertain. That's what they pay me to do. Not to, like, be a rocket scientist, not to be, like, the great educator of the public or change the world. They pay me to be an entertainer, and that's what almost all these shows are. They're entertainment. And anybody who can't tell the difference between shtick or tries to take things that I say that are obviously shtick and make them into serious and tell me that I deserve a bullet in my head, well, that person is obviously either a moron or just an agent provocateur. Or both. You know, the kind of people that run around stirring up crap and trying to get everybody fired. The Beast can relate to that.
Do-do-do-do-do-y.
See, now, there you go again. It could have been almost anybody that I could have been talking about, although not really.
This is Neil Rogers. This
Absolutely.
Is 560 QAM.
This is the Neil Rogers Show. This is your brain. Any questions?
Do you love the delightful sounds of birds in your backyard, uh-huh. yet live in constant fear of avian flu? Well, now you can enjoy our feathered friends and be safe at the same time with the electric bird bath.
Oh, hey, look, honey. It's a brown-headed cowbird.
It's beautiful and no longer contagious.
The electric bird bath is wired with 50,000 volts of bird flu eradicating power.
Look, honey. It's a white-breasted nuthatch.
Correction, dear. It's a smoldering black-breasted nuthatch.
And if you order the electric bird bath now, we'll include a free box of Poliwana and exploding crackers.
Poliwana crackers.
The electric bird bath. Because dying of avian flu is... For the birds.
I'm dying over here.
11 o'clock at 560 WQAM. Okay, here's our award-winning schedule. Mo at 2, Joe Zagacki for Jim Mandich at 4. Nothing's perfect from Smokey Bones. Jesse Alger at 7 in the Panther-Red Wing game.
Agler.
Jesse Alger. Algie. Jesse Algie.
Algiers.
Look for the QM van right now. The Algiers Hotel. Remember that? I bet you don't.
No.
Long gone. How about the Castaways? 163rd?
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, that was interesting. A lot of people used to go there to get done.
Castaway?
Look for the QM van right now at the Hess Station, located at 107th Avenue and 41st Street in Doral. Stop by to drop off a new unwrapped toy for the Big O's.
Rock solid.
Holiday toy drive to benefit Miami Children's Hospital. That's at 107th and 41st Street in Doral. They'll be there until 2 p.m. Look for the QM van and say, oh, who's that? Who in there? Who that? So anyway, getting back to this long, and I don't know, maybe this is a bad idea. I felt the need to vent today, you know, which
yeah,
I don't very seldom do this.
You go. You go, girl.
No, because this is, generally speaking, a fun games with a few bedtime stories in interspersed in between and some of the stupid-ass calls, which is part of the fun. But I just feel compelled. The spirit of the season, of the generic season, compels me to go into this stuff.
Do it.
Because in this business, like I said before, there is a line. It's not a thin line. Not a thin line at all. There's a very thick, broad line. And that's why Friday, I feel bad about Friday because I step way over it. Because it wasn't business. It got personal and unnecessarily. It was stupid. And there's nothing worse than being stupid. But I know where that line is, and I have for a long time. And some people, of course, who are very thin-skinned and uptight, well, he's picking on the pants in my wig. Well, that's fine. You can talk about my baggy pants and about, ginger and faggotorn and stale Rogers. Who cares? The part I find about that so amusing is the comebacks are so lame, so pathetic. But nevertheless, that's what makes it funny. You know what I mean? Kind of like that.
What do you mean?
Weak. But that's a different sort of, as opposed to saying, well, so-and-so is a wife beater or a child molester or a beats his dog with a sticker, something like that. See, there's the big difference.
Yeah. Or they're a lousy tipper.
Oh, man. And like I said, some people don't know where the line is. That's why Mike Disney said Neil knows where to draw the line, and Steve, Mr. Ego, doesn't have any line, which is why he's on some horseball station that we don't even know the call letters of right now and has to buy his way out of the radio when he could put his whole audience in a telephone booth and have room for the Chinese army left over. And Nick Lawrence and Brian, whatever his name is, Little Brian. Enormous Twinkie, Little Brian. So I just mentioned that in passing because there are some people who pretend that they don't understand. Oh, under the guise of stick. Believe me, anybody who listens to the show for more than 1 hour, they know when I'm being serious and when it's just funnin', okay? There's a difference between saying, oh, Kira Phillips on CNN, let's take her out, Everybody knows what that is. As opposed to going on here and saying, well, anybody would say these things on the air and any other market would get a bullet in the head. See, there's a total difference. Even just the tone of voice, I think, should probably betray to the audience exactly what the intentions are. But nevertheless, some people got a sense of humor, some people got certain human qualities, and some people have subhuman qualities, if you catch my drift. You know what I mean, Beast?
I know kind of
exactly what I mean. Okay, so anyway, here's the blog from Bob Lancer on the posting on his blog yesterday. Lasseter posted December 14, 2005. It says, it would have been about 1981, maybe 82, when I first heard Neil Rogers. I was absolutely blown away. I had never heard anything like it. The guy was smart, funny, and compelling. He talked about I always told you I like Bob. He talked about the things that were important to me, and he said them so much better than I could. I was hooked. Rare was the night that I wasn't glued to the radio, hanging on his every word. I was working at WKQS at the time. KISS! I was Bobby Clifford, the afternoon drive country jock. See, I never even knew that. But I dreamed of being a talk show host. It was an impossible dream. Impossible because no matter how hard I tried, no one took me seriously. Skip ahead a couple of years. My life had been turned upside down. Divorced, no longer Bobby Clifford, and through a bizarre set of circumstances, I found myself almost living my dream if working at a pig of a station on weekend night counts. WGBS in Miami was the third of three talk stations in the market, and out of desperation, hired me to work in a time slot that nobody listened to. I listened. I remember those positive-negative polls, Bob. But as fate would have it, the man I idolized heard me and thought that maybe, just maybe, I had something to offer. One night after his regular shift, Neil sat in with the overnight guy, Bill Calder, and at some point a caller asked Neil, who among the couple dozen people who did talk shows in Miami, he'd like to have dinner with. I just happened to be listening when he said, Bob Lasseter. I couldn't believe my ears. Not only did he know I existed, but he said that he thought I was worth sitting down with. It was the golden age of talk in Miami. There were a slew of really good people on the air. And here was the best of the best uttering my name. Oh, there's that utter thing again. Is that uterusing my name? I was floored, says Bob. But it got better. Over the coming months, Neil waged an on-air campaign urging his station, WINZ, to hire me. Holy Schmidt! Now, does he really mean Holy Schmidt, or does he mean...
Holy cow!
Maybe that. Well, I had to drop it. Maybe Randy will be playing that later today. To make a long story short, they eventually did hire me. I eventually got to meet and work with my radio god. I continued to work weekend evenings, but several nights a week I'd go to the station, sit in the control room just watching him work, learning from, studying at the feet of the man I considered to be the master. The day came when I finally got the chance to work full-time, but the job was in Tampa. So I took all that I had learned, in particular the ability to speak from the gut and the monologue, and set off on my own. I became the Neil Rogers of Tampa, became a radio god. I've said it before and do not hesitate in saying it now. I owe my success to Neil. He stuck his neck out for me and allowed me to learn from him. My good fortune in Tampa brought the opportunity to go to Chicago, WLS, but that turned into a 2.5-year nightmare, and this is where things between Neil and I turned dicey. By then, Neil had moved on to WIOD in Miami. Oh, WIOD, I hate that station. Yeah.
A lot of
I don't think I need to write the book. I think what I need to do is, just narrate it on the air.
Right.
I think it would take that long. Anyway, he goes on to say, the station was owned by Cox Broadcasting, which also owned WSUN in Tampa. Cox decided to simulcast IOD's lineup on SUN. IOD kicked ass in Miami, but the simulcast just wasn't working in Tampa. So Neil suggested that Cox hire me to do mornings at SUN, thinking I could help the rest of the day in Tampa. First and foremost, I ain't no morning man, but I did okay. The problem is that I wasn't able to transfer my audience to the other day parts, in particular the show that followed mine, Neil's time slot. Anyone who's ever listened to Neil knows that a major part of his act is to rag on other shows. It's his trademark. Being a student, I also had adopted the technique. The problem is that no one in Miami ever really gave Neil any Schmidt on the earned returns. See, can I interject just one thing? I guess Bob didn't know Dickie Farkle, or didn't know that Mr. Ego had done a series of shows where he invited certain guests on here to rag on me for 2-3 hours at a time, but nevertheless.
I think his point is that anyone who does it, they get lambasted.
Oh. Neil would say the most god-awful things about his colleagues and almost never had anyone retaliate. That is until I came along, Bob says. At first, the sniping was relatively low-level, but it slowly intensified. He was pissing me off, and I was getting to him. He had taught me well. It culminated during an on-the-air campaign Neil conducted every year for Miami Area Homeless Shelter. That year, he was selling a Best of Neil CD, and sales were lagging behind previous years. While the CD was not being sold in Tampa, and my show wasn't carried in Miami, Neil blamed me for not pushing it on my show. This infuriated me, and it was absurd. He would rag on me during his show, and I returned the favor on mine. It just escalated and escalated until I blurted out something that hurt and embarrassed him, hurt and embarrassed my mentor and idol, which George and I have been, confabulating about that. I have no memory of any of that part of this.
No.
It would serve no purpose to repeat it here. We are probably the only two people who remember. I guess he's the only one, because I don't. But things between us have never been the same. A cheap shot, evidently, and why not? Do I regret it? Would I take it back if I could? Of course I would. It was only shtick, nothing personal, but it caused a rift that lasts to this day. So now I have a new reader here on the blog, the man who I owe my success to, the man who I admired and idolized, the man who I had a very public falling out with. For whatever it's worth, thank you, Neil. I'm truly sorry that things turned out as they did. I got emotional about it when I read it yesterday.
Right, likewise.
And I'm emotional now, huh?
I wasn't being sarcastic. I think you should call him. That's heartfelt.
Well, how am I going to call him?
Well,
assignment when I'm on vacation next week. You've got to find out how I can get in touch with him.
I already started. I spent a good 20 minutes this morning trying to get some contact information. You know how most websites or blogs have contact us or contact info, and I scoured trying to find the contact info.
Does he have that?
No. I don't think he's got that because he's
got a one-way blog. And by the way, I happen to agree with that. Like I told you last week, the last thing that anybody, especially somebody who's in the shape that he is, but anybody even in good shape, the last thing you want is a bunch of crap coming
right
in, which we found on our chat room on neilrogers.com when we first started that. Just the stuff that winds up on here, most of which has nothing to do with the show or any of us, just a bunch of idiots shouting back and forth at each other. We're just wasting your space and time. Just really garbage.
Not that I'm going to stop looking, but in the meantime, if anybody can contact him, email jorge@neilrogers.com.
Yeah, but the only problem with that is that, see, I thought about that, and I'm not going to start responding because anybody can give you an email address. You know what I'm saying?
That is correct.
I want to make sure that we're talking to a real person.
I'll do the work.
Assuming he would want to, which I can't see why not, because I don't really consider there to be this great rift, and there certainly was never any great hate. It was just there was a falling out, and it was just that we had the feeling that we got tossed under the bus. And in addition to which, the whole idea was stupid anyway, putting us on in the air in Tampa. It was idiotic.
Right.
I mean, we did have a lot of people at that first remote, but a bunch of, and then, of course, I'll tell you another thing that really did not help us over there, much more so than anything that he ever did, was when we were there for the week. Were you there that week?
I went there eventually, right, halfway through the week.
And Randy made a big deal on the air about going to the dollhouse, which was right across from the hotel we stayed at, which was a strip club.
Right.
And made a big simus about getting her hooked up with a stripper. Oh, God. we already had this Jew fag on the air, one, which they could tolerate that. They could handle that. But then the idea that maybe Randy Rhodes was some bulldog or something like that,
Oh, that could only help.
No, it did not help. It was tremendously negatory, and it helped to create this image that, oh, my God, these South Florida perverts. Not, of course, that they're not all perverted over there in Tampa like they are everywhere else, but it just don't count to them yahoos over there.
Biggest problem is that they switched format with no promotion, no warning.
Well, not only that, but they kept repeating the same show over and over, the tapes of the shows. Oh, I think I was on like 18 times a day. For 4 hours, 72 hours.
I think we added it up, and you were on like 12 to 18 hours a day.
It was ridiculous. When in doubt, they wore it out. Too much of a good. It's like having 17 banana splits. One is good, but 17 is a little over the top.
That's not what B said.
You've got the right idea. I've planted the seed there. If he wants to run with it, if he wants to do something good for himself and his bride-to-be in his life, fine. If not, you can only bring a horse's ass to water. You can't make it stink. You know what I'm saying?
So where'd you plant that seed?
Rectum.
Well, I just got through saying horse's ass. So anyway, that's where we are with that. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
I've got a lot more to say about it. But it would be good. That's your assignment for next week. I really would like to...
I plan to try.
Although, to be honest with you, at this point, I really don't know what to say other than what I've said on the air because it's tragic. You know?
I thought about it. If I was, like, not doing well on my last leg, a call from you would cheer me up.
Is that it?
If nothing
well, hopefully
else.
Today might do that a little bit because I don't really harbor any horrible. There just aren't that many people. So instead of three, which I said on Friday, and I have no idea why I said that, and certainly would never put him in the same category with the other two, one of whom everybody knows is the unmentionable one, who's not a radio person, just a radio interferer and agitator, and the other one being, of course, without a shadow of a doubt, the most evil person I have ever encountered in my life. He makes my father seem like a good guy.
Wow.
How do you like that?
That's hard.
You know, my father who said, there's no such thing as love. It's just a word.
Yeah, he might have had a point.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in quite an environment, I'll tell you that.
You too.
It was like being, growing up in the North Pole, which explains my warm, cuddly personality.
This is Neil Rogers. This is 560 QAM.
Today on Dr. Phil,
it's Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey.
Let's do it. What happened?
I like her a lot, but I think she's crazy.
Everybody laughs at me and makes fun of me. And
you are a phenomenal idiot.
Tuna is fish, not chicken.
You know you're smart, right?
I don't know.
I assume you want to hear the truth.
Is it tuna or not?
I just think you are f***ed up.
11-17, she sure is, and she did the same to him. It's 1,574, the total on the pool. The last thing most guys want to be called is fag, 390. My bitch, 236. The P word, 189. Isn't that sad we can't even say that?
Very sad.
Coward, 131. A loser, 128. Effeminate, 94. Whip, 53. Fat, 50. Wimp, 49. Liar, 40. A-hole, 34. Can't say that no more either. Dumb, 34, a phony, 29, ugly, 29, pretty, 18. What a pretty guy. I don't know. A wannabe, 15. What about gorgeous? You want to add that on there, like gorgeous George? Because Norma likes to use that word. Oh, he was just gorgeous.
What about fabulous?
No, not fabulous. That's gorgeous. Come on, you can do it. You can spell it. It won't be on there that long. But pretty, 18, a wannabe, 15. Boy, do I know a lot of those, especially in this business. Cheap, 14. Crook, 14. Fruitcake, 13. Scrawny, 8. And beautiful, only 6. That surprises me. I thought that when you called a guy beautiful, well, if a woman says you're beautiful, wow, what a compliment that is. If another guy says you're beautiful, you just punch him out when in doubt. Isn't that the way it goes?
Something like that.
Now, what was this story that the Beast was going to tell us about a windy toupee? What was that all about?
Yeah, I forget what day it was, but I was listening to, I happened to have a radio accident. And tuned in for the beginning of the Mad Dog show, yet caught the tail end of the Howard show.
The ass end, yeah.
Yeah, and the last things he was saying as he was saying goodbye were that he found it hysterical that his daughter had called him the day before, and she was in the parking lot of Publix and was giving him the play-by-play as a man was walking through the parking lot, and this man's toupee was blowing off his head.
Yeah.
And then kind of Howard just kind of, you could tell he thought about it and realized he looked like an idiot, so he said, I should have shaved my head years ago. But it was just coming from his mouth, talking about how someone's bad toupee was blowing off their head. It was,
Yeah, I think some people, before they start talking about me and my baggy pants and my appearance and everything, maybe they ought to look in the mirror themselves, okay? Maybe somebody did. Maybe that's why that George Washington powdered wig disappeared, the one that had the chameleon look to it, you know? But that's okay. That's fine. I mean, it's like me calling the Beast fat. It's not good. Not good style. Although you're a fat slob, and I'm saying it out of love, trying to get you on a. I don't know.
It's working
so
far. So far, so good.
What does that mean?
Well, we're 2 days in.
You lost an ounce or two this week. That's good.
Yeah, about a half.
Well, maybe
ounce.
The weight of this show has decreased in the last couple of days. The weight isn't 385 anymore, like it was a couple of days ago. You know what I'm saying? Who weighed more? Man, well, it's about time you started pulling your weight when you work this show. Let me tell you that right now. And that's a lot to pull. Believe you me. Even Warren Beatty can't believe it. 5-6, I don't know if I want to take any calls today. I feel like very, I don't know.
What?
I'm just not really, huh?
Melancholy?
No, not melancholy at all. Like I'm having some kind of a spiritual experience here because I had an awakening.
Yeah.
And I know you made your efforts, but you already had your fill of trying to save fat people, and I think you reached your quota.
It's exhausting. and depressing when you fail.
And usually useless, you know.
That's just it, because it's like beating your head against a brick wall.
But you see, all these other things didn't get it done for me, like other fat people that have, like Fat Rich having the heart attack at the track and dying right there at the table.
Right.
Didn't, because that was no surprise to me. I mean, that was like a multi-part dying that he went through.
And you know how when people commit suicide, all the people around them, they all blame themselves, thinking, you know, is there something I could have done? Well, that's
right.
How the friends of and family of fat people feel. Like, we didn't do enough, even though we know that we did everything that we possibly could.
If
sort
we could
of kidnapping
just not
you.
Given him that one cannoli.
Yeah.
If we could have just tell them, push that second helping away. Stuff like that. Oh, a lot of calls coming in now. This ought to be really something. We'll see how this goes. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil, Doctor.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you turned into Richard Simmons of the radio, saving the fat people.
Yeah.
So, hey, I had an accident about a week or so ago.
Yeah.
Listening to Mo, and I could have swore I heard him saying that there would be no fight between you and him, insinuating that you would just cry.
Yeah.
But then, that's it. I'm just trying to bust your chops.
No, you're trying to stir it up is what you're trying
to do. Yeah, I want to stir it up because I want to
stir this. Go smoke it. Quit stirring it. Pick out the seeds and go smoke it. See what I mean about the audience? That no matter any of the stuff that I just said, there's the element of the callers who nothing is ever serious to them. If their closest friend had a heart attack in front of them and passed out on the floor, it would be like, he was just such a clown, like that. And those, for the most part, that's about 90% of the people who call radio talk shows. Idiots. WQAM, hello.
Hey, good morning, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I'm a Tampa listener that's lucky enough to be in South Florida today.
You mean unlucky enough?
I just wanted to say I appreciate you reading what you did about Bob. I was aware that he had a bug. I just haven't checked into it lately. I'm sorry to hear he's doing so poorly. But
yeah.
Tell you what, I do remember those days of radio, and I'm fortunate enough, like I said, to be able to listen to you over here sometimes, and then was able to listen in Tampa to Bob and all the other douchebags on the radio. But just want to say I appreciate what you did. It was that right there a few minutes ago was good radio in my book. So,
okay.
Have a good one, Neil.
Thanks,
Bye.
Pally. But you see, it wasn't just good radio. Whether it was good or bad, it was just just me venting. Because once every, like, blue moon, every zillion years, there are things that you need to get out. You need to say them.
Yeah.
And just like about the creature that we got following the show, when somebody goes on the air, I mean, if I'm the program director, if I'm in management and somebody goes on the air, no matter, forgetting, setting aside personalities, setting aside anything else, and somebody goes on the air and says, I urge you not to listen to the show that follows me. See, I never heard of such a thing. I've been in a business only, 46 years. So what do I know? I never heard of such a thing. To me, that would be, bye-bye, see ya. Whoever heard of such crap? Or under the guise of shtick, disguised as shtick, this man is saying things on the air that deserve a bullet in the head, like that. Bye-bye. But unfortunately, we got management that continues getting themselves in a pickle that they can't extricate themselves. Maybe they ought to get a hold of J. Rokeach. He can help them with a pickle problem. Because Beast was telling me the other day that J. Rokeach, from the Rokeach, the Rokeach pickle people, that's his family.
Yeah.
He said that Jay's got a pickle problem.
So anyway, just to keep you up to date.
I think it had something to do with Mike Rosenthal. Go ahead.
I got an email.
And?
Presumably from Bob. It says Bob.
Yeah.
With an email address and a phone number.
Right.
And I replied back with the hotline number.
And?
And that's where we're at.
Wow. How long ago was that?
5 minutes ago, saying, call as soon as you can.
How do you like that? Well, see, like I said, if Bob does call, see, I don't know what to say to him because I feel so bad now.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, I know how he's. Well, I really don't know how he's doing today, but I mean, just from reading the vlog, it's obviously not. It's not a pretty picture, you know.
Ask him if he saw, Monster's Ball.
Now, what does that mean?
Whatever. Talk about movies,
You are brutal.
Ask him if he saw Way of the Gun.
Well, stop with it. If he saw this and saw that, the man is losing his eyesight for crap. What is wrong with you?
How about Network?
I'm leaving. I'm bailing out. I'm going back to bed. Had a rough night at Woodbine, getting most of my money back. Watching all them donkey races. So we'll see if we get... now, what did you give me? You gave me your email address? Now, where did you get the email?
I told you I gave my neilrogers.com email out on the air, and he fired an email right off to it, assuming that it's him and not somebody pretending to be him.
Right.
And so I replied right back.
And he gave you his phone number.
Yes.
Well, why don't you call him during the break?
We tried to make a call on this hotline over here, and something's wrong with it. We'll work on it during the break.
Oh, man, I can just see it right now. The flames are engulfing WQA, and the whole building is up in flames. We're trying to call out to get the fire department or call 911, and, well, we can't get the phone to work. I mean, we are just a radio station, but then again, Telos is the best. Ask George Corso about that Telos phone system.
Don't get me started. Talk about people I hate.
Yeah.
I hate Telos.
How about the engineers?
No.
Or some of them, anyway. By the way, I understand the engineer's been put into quarantine for 10 years because of his mental situation. 26 past 11. And see, there's a difference between that and my saying that so-and-so, fill in the blank. There's a definite line there, okay? And I'll push the line as much as anybody else. But don't cross it. And that's what I did on Friday. And I should know better than that after 100 years of doing this. It was bad. It was bad form. It was stupid. It was not really a mint. And it was just like, you know, kind of a gut, a knee-jerk reaction in a really stupid way. Why would you want to, like, crap on somebody when they're down? Why would you want to do that? George.
Huh?
You would. You would because you're just basically a hard ass. You know?
That's right.
I understand that. It's not personal. George is just, that's his thing.
That's right. Just a miserable.
Got a lot of problems.
Spick.
Mother or wife. 27 past 11 at 560 WQM. Pompano Park Racing and Poker's got the gambling action you'll be looking for. Featuring live harness racing, the great poker card room, Pompano Park is open for racing every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And best of all, admission and parking are always free at Pompano Park. Come root home a winner from the radio. Come on, Brucey, whip him again, baby. Or enjoy poker in the smoke-free card room with tournaments every day. Hey, Wally, the finish line is over here, baby. We also have harness, thoroughbred, high-life simulcasting action every day, 7 days a week from tracks all across the nation and even North America, like Woodbine, eh? Post time at Pompano Park is 7:25 p.m., and the card room opens at noon. Come enjoy fine dining in the Top of the Park restaurant on the sixth floor, and every Wednesday is dollar night with draft beer, hot dog sodas, and much more, just a buck apiece. Pompano Park, easy to get there from the Turnpike or I-95. It's just a block south of Atlantic Boulevard on Powerline Road. For the racing schedule or more information, call 954-972-2000 or on the Wicked Web, it's PompanoPark.com. Don't forget the live racing Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Post time 7:25 at Pompano Park.
This is Neil Rogers. This is 560 QAM.
Rogers.
God.
It's Gay Cowboy Songs from the Gay Cowboy Movie featuring
Homo, Homo on the Range, where the queers and the cantaloupes play.
And mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be gay cowboys. Don't let them wear chaps and lipstick and stuff. Make them play football and kiss girls and such. And, well, we're back here in San Fran again, where the women don't outnumber men.
First I was afraid.
I was petrified.
And more.
I kept thinking,
the cowboy's best friend is his pony, Spank the Burro. And happy mails to you.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
Gay Cowboy Songs from the Gay Cowboy Movie. The soundtrack is great.
11:33 at QAM. Let me just ask one question, positive or negative? Hello?
Positive.
Oh, see, this isn't working, this line 12.
You hit it wrong.
What do you mean I hit it wrong? I was doing that when you were hitting it. Oh, no, please don't tell me.
Well, just hit it again.
Okay, let me hit it again.
Hello?
Now you're talking.
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is.
Yeah, I'm here, you old fart. Miserable man.
I'm learning how to do this phone thing. Well, you sound like you're in a barrel.
I beg your pardon.
Well, didn't say
you're the one that sounds like you're in a barrel. I sound fine.
As well, maybe I am. I ought to be in a barrel. We're going to get a foot of snow here today.
Really?
Positive or negative? I bet you I'm one of the few people who remember those polls. Do you remember them?
Sure I do. It's the only thing I could do. I got 1 hour. They would book me with guests, and I got 1 hour to myself, and I didn't know what the hell to do with it. I had no, you know, no listeners, and that was the only thing I could do. You would sit there the following Monday and give me on the air, because we had never spoken. You would give me tips on how to do polls. And
yeah.
I remember, you know, vividly you told me that I had to always have a juicy question.
Well, the one thing that was great is that I think you were, other than me, you were the only person in the market that would, like, talk about everybody else on the air and positive. And it was just really shocking that anybody else would go on the air and mention all the other talk people on the different stations. Because you're right, there were, like, three stations doing talk at that time.
There were 19 people that did talk.
Wow.
At that time. Can you believe that?
And some of them actually belonged on the air.
Yeah, there were two or three decent people.
Yeah.
And you didn't think they were decent, but I did.
Such as?
David
Gould?
No, oh my God. No, the people that I learned from when I realized I was going to do talk, I sat down and I listened to everybody, and there were three people that had something in common, you, Rantel, and Kane.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that I learned from the three of you was that, and you in particular, but Rantel and Kane also did it from time to time, would go in, and I've said this a million times, cut your stomach open, heave your guts out on the table, and let people pick through them.
Yeah.
And that was the
difference. I think that's what
difference.
I just did this morning.
Exactly. And that was the difference between you guys and the other 16, and that's what I learned from.
I'll tell you, we had some pretty interesting times. I think the SUN thing in the beginning, remember we did, now you were there, weren't you at the mall when we had the 5,000 people show up?
I remember it was closer to maybe 1,500, but I'll take your 5,000.
No, they told me 5,000. I don't know if George remembers what it was, but there were a lot of people.
I don't remember.
There were a lot of people.
Yeah. Let's say a couple thousand to make me feel better. But I don't think did you hear about the what I mentioned about the Randy thing at the dollhouse? I don't think that helped.
No. Your memory is really bad. I never
but I'm really old too, okay?
I never ripped on Rick and Suds. I ripped on Randy because she left my studio in an absolute mess, and it infuriated me.
Alan!
And at that time, she could do no wrong in your eyes, so you know that pissed you off. And
she could do no wrong in my eyes,
at
Randy?
At that time.
When was that day? What day was that?
Oh, at that time, she was the goddess. I mean, she was brand new. And
I can verify this. That is what was going on there, part of it.
Is it really?
Randy was a pig. I don't know if she's gotten over that, but she was a pig and would leave a mess in the studio. She did it at IOD, if you recall.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I really ragged on. You would listen to me coming off the track, and then on your show, you would critique my preview show, which really pissed me off. I'm sitting there in the morning. I had no calls. I had nobody to talk to. And that would piss me off, and so then I would rag on you.
Well, wait a minute. I would be coming home from the track at 9 o'clock in the morning?
No, at night. And you would listen to the replay.
Oh, I see.
And, just rip me unmercifully.
Well, I didn't want to leave you out, you know. There's no point in crying over spilt milk and rehashing all of that crap. That's, it's all in the past. But it was really much ado about nothing. It wasn't all that significant. Now, the thing that I was astonished by, because it's the first time I ever heard about it, was what you called 2.5 years of living hell at WLS in Chicago. What was that all about?
Oh, it was awful. Literally, my very first day, the very first show, they were waiting for me out in the hall. And every day, it was screaming and hollering and bitching and moaning.
Yeah.
And I asked immediately to get out of the contract, and they said, no, you got 5 years of war here, boy.
Well, what were they upset about? Because they didn't like you. Well, of course, that Midwestern, everybody's got to be real low-key and real polite, that whole Midwestern thing.
Right. Well, I constantly offended everyone. I offended the Polish people. I offended the Japanese people. I offended the Catholics.
Excellent.
And it was just awful.
So how did it last 2.5 years, though?
How did it last 2.5 years?
Yeah.
They were just mean. I wanted to come back to Tampa, and Tampa was willing to accept me, but they wouldn't let me out of the contract. And so we just, every day.
So after you finally escaped from there, was that when you went to the cornfields in Iowa?
Yeah.
And that's where I don't remember how we got a hold of you, but I got your number. We called you and said SUN needs you badly, which I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but at the time I thought it was a great idea.
Well, the mornings at SUN were a disaster, and that's what you heard. The afternoons at SUN were really pretty damn good, but you never heard that.
Yeah.
But they gave me some people to talk to, and we loosened up a lot. And actually, I enjoyed the last 2 years at SUN. That was fun. It was a style of radio I had never done before. You know, I blew out all the monologues. I blew out all the political talk. And just basically did a stream of consciousness.
Yeah, schmooze.
Every day. Yeah, and it was fun.
A schmooze fest.
And it worked. You know,
and then, of course, you recall the week that we were there when the bird showed up every day. He was supposed to show up one day because he had been canned from my show long since. But he lived in Lakeland, so he invited himself to come. And I thought that would be a good idea. Let's, you know, because, again, there were no real hard feelings on my part. He wasn't appropriate to be on an AM show. He was fine on Zeta. But didn't fit in. Plus, every time I talked about sports or anything he didn't like, he'd throw a tantrum. But he showed up the first day, and because we fed him well and he enjoyed it so much, he showed up four straight days.
Well, I remember that week. I thought that was a fun week. I enjoyed it.
It was.
You know, you and I did an hour together, dueling carts.
Eating a lot. I remember the deli? They didn't last very long in Tampa. There were like four Jews in Tampa. But I remember that deli that brought in the food. Was that it?
Yeah, Michael Schwartz.
A deli in Tampa, it's like selling halava at the North Pole. It just didn't work out too well.
No, he tried so hard. He initially put out a really great product, but, you know, unfortunately, since no one went there, the product declined, and the poor guy ended up selling cars. Actually, I bought a car from him.
Wow.
Still have it, too.
So let me ask you this, at the risk, I don't want to get too personal on the air, I will call you off the air, but...
Ask whatever you want.
I'm just wondering, what, you know, are you able to get out of the house much, or are you like pretty much...
No, my spirits are very good, but the reality is I didn't lose the entire foot, I lost 40% of it,
uh-huh.
But that makes, mobility very, very difficult.
Right.
I can see well enough to function in the house, you know, obviously I can work on my computer, but I cannot drive, and... You know, I look out the window, and I can't see across the street. I can only see about 20, 30 feet.
But thank goodness for your wonderful wife, though.
Yeah. She, you know, what I've put her through is incredible. It's been a roller coaster. Fortunately, I saved my money, so I don't have any financial problems. And my spirits are very, very good, all things considered. And, I'm able to function. I'm a recluse anyway, so it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're the one that said that. Well, I'm going to be reading the blog every day. Don't feel bad when you see those hits from Toronto on there or Amsterdam, wherever I happen to be, because I'll be and I think vicariously, if there's any little good thing that you may think about in your plight is that you really gave me a wake-up call. Boy, I tell you, I've been on the very narrow path for 6 or 7 days now. And you can only fool Mother Nature so long.
Well, I must tell you, there was something that just absolutely made me laugh out loud last night. You know, as you know, I put up the post saying, how many readers do you think I have in Toronto? Well, I got a second one last night, and you'll never believe his IP address.
Yeah.
Rogers.com.
I don't understand.
There's
that's our cable system here, and they also have an internet connection, Rogers Cable, and of course all the stadium that they bought what used to be the Sky Dome. It's now called the Rogers Center.
Yeah, so I now have two readers in Toronto.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
You're picking on me, and you got another one out there. And now I have a few people who do this on the internet up here, and hopefully I won't run into them. But I thought it was pretty nice of them shortly after I came and started doing my shows here that they named the baseball stadium after me. It was kind of nice. The team was not too good, but at least they named it after me.
Well, I'm green with envy. I'd move there if I could.
Yeah, well, you'd love it. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Except today, I don't think you'd love it too much in about 2 hours.
You know, I've always hated Florida. Now I'm trapped here.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you, if I had to come back and do the show there, I think I would just head due east and keep sailing.
It's a horrible place. It really is. Filled with malcontents and. Well.
Yeah.
What am I telling you?
It's a cross we have to bear. Hey, Bob, listen, I'm so glad you called. Take good care of yourself, and I'll be in touch.
Please do.
And I'll be on that blog every day.
Okay, dude.
So don't rip me too much.
Okay.
Okay, take care.
Be good.
How about that? That was good. A quick job there, George.
Yes, it was.
Did you do it or did I do that?
Well, he responded right away, so therefore...
Thank goodness.
We were able to put it
together.
Well, I
thought he'd probably be listening, because not that I'm looking for the publicity on his blog. You know, he didn't need to be writing about me a lot. I'm not don't have that much of an
And I got the phone fixed, and I called, and it was busy, and I thought, now his phone doesn't work.
And you'll be sure and fax me his number so I can get in touch with him?
I'm on it right now.
There you get on it. Right. 16 till noon at QAM.
This is Neil Rogers.
Ahoy!
This is 560 QAM.